He doesn't take them away and say, oops, you messed up. Give me that back. Number four, the gifts are often matched with natural inclinations. Now let me explain this one a little bit because I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying. God has created each one of us uniquely. He's given each one of us different talents, different personalities. Some of us have very tender hearts. And God tends to pair mercy with a tender heart. Some of us are highly organized people. I should say some of you are very highly organized people. And God has gifted some of you with teaching and administration. Some people are just naturally happy and joyful, and God has gifted them with the ability to encourage people. But the gifts aren't our natural inclinations. Just because you're tender-hearted doesn't mean you're gifted in mercy. It doesn't, in other words, just because you like to do something and you're good at it doesn't mean that God has gifted you in that area, okay? To be used spiritually in that area. I'm not saying God can't use you, but that's different than the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? I love playing music, but there are people who are gifted to be worship leaders. Right? I can do it, but there are people who move in that gift. Number five, the gifts can be developed. No, hold on. It's another one that I need to explain. There is a church, and I don't want to mention it. Bethel, who will teach people, come to our seminars and we'll teach you how to be a prophet. We'll teach you how to have the gift of prophecy. That's not what I mean when I say the gifts can be developed. What I mean is that we can grow in how we use them. I didn't put the verse up there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says that it's okay for us to eagerly desire prophecy, right? So we can desire for that gift to be active in our lives. But then he goes on to teach how the gifts should be used in an orderly way. So if they can be used in an orderly way, in other words, when we learn about how the gifts should be used, we can use them more effectively. If we were all using our gifts all at one time and there was chaos in here, you know, that would not be good. But Paul says you can learn how to use your gifts in a way that's orderly, that brings glory to God as opposed to just chaos. So they can be developed within us. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, stir up the gifts. Paul had laid his hands on Timothy. Timothy had been experienced a spiritual gift. And Paul saying, the gift that was given to you by laying on my hands, now stir it up and use it. Some of us have been given spiritual gifts, but we don't use them. God wants to stir them up in us. He wants that thing to grow so that we can be used by the kingdom. Not that it's some kind of artificial thing, but so that God can do what he wants to do in you. We can learn to move in them and be better with our gifts. Number six, they're not private property. Another word is they're not proprietary. In other words, it's not my gift. That's my gift. You can't speak in tongues. That's my gift. Remember, the gifts aren't about the ones who use them. The gifts are intended to build up the body, to evangelize the world. They're not about you. And the other thing that you have to remember about the gift is sometimes we have a gift and we feel like, well, I don't feel like using it today. You know what? I'm tired. I'm just going to check out today. But we have a responsibility that when God has gifted us to use those things when he calls us to use them. They should be confirmed by the body. If God has given you the gift of the of words of knowledge, and you stand up and you give a word of knowledge and it doesn't resonate with anybody, and the church is like, wow, that was really silly. That wasn't knowledge. Like, we should see that when you're using the gifts, we should be like, yes. Yes. Not that you're self-proclaimed, hey, I'm the church's prophet, so you all have to listen to me. No, we should see that gift in use in your prophecy coming to be. They're not given to you as an island where you just decide, this is what I'm going to be. The church should see it in your life being active. Number 8, the gifts of the Spirit flow from desire, prayer, and need. In other words, sometimes God gives us a desire to match the gift he's given us. Sometimes you have a desire to see people saved, and he's given you the gift to be able to evangelize. If you have a heart that wants to see people healed, sometimes God gives you the gift of healing to heal people. To see people grow in their relationship with God, sometimes God gives you the gift of teaching. If our desire is for God to use us, he'll find ways to use us. It goes along with prayer. What is God speaking to you as you pray? I think about Philip, who was praying one day, and God told him, go out to that road, because God was going to use him in his gifts. So maybe God's speaking to you. And actually, Philip went, and he met a guy there, and he taught him, and they were baptized, and then took the gospel message back to Ethiopia, because he was in prayer seeking what God wanted. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's speaking to you, and he's saying, hey, go pray for that person. Maybe you've been praying, God, I just want to see so-and-so receive you. And he says, go tell them your testimony. God wants to use your gifts to evangelize them. Be obedient. God wants to do something great in this body, but he's only going to do it if we're obedient and we're in prayer and we hear God speaking to us and we do it. And then God also not only uses our desires and our prayers for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the needs. What's the need that God is calling you to address? Someone in our church is sick. Maybe somebody should make a meal for them. But maybe God has gifted you with hospitality to go do that. You know, one thing that's funny is, and you learn when you're in leadership, everybody has great ideas of what you should be doing. Hey, I had this great idea. I think our church needs XYZ. Go ahead and do it. But maybe God has helped you to recognize that church needs X, Y, and Z because he's gifted you with X, Y, and Z for you to step up and lead that charge. Number 9, they're not restricted to church services. Actually, when you read through Scripture, the gifts of the Holy Spirit very rarely are used in the temple. They're most likely to take place in the marketplace. A lot of healings were beggars who were in the street. When Jesus gave words of knowledge, it's when he was out talking to people and they came up to him. They wanted to trick him and stuff, but it wasn't like he was in, you know, a setting like this and somebody posed this hard, challenging question and he's like, oh, I know your heart. No, he was out preaching. He was out teaching. He was out talking with people. And they would come up to him and he would know what was in their hearts. The very first baptism in the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, they went out into the community and the community heard them preaching in different languages. The gifts should be a part of your everyday service to our community. Now, does that mean that when the guy is filling the gas in your car, you should start speaking in tongues to him? That is not what I mean at all. Unless God directs you and you have an interpretation. But there are times that God wants to use your gifting, not in the church setting, but in the world setting. The Holy Spirit isn't limited to a church service. We should be open to what God wants us to do, not just on Sundays, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even Saturdays. There doesn't have to be just the right mood music of worship songs playing in the background for you to use your gifts. It's funny, sometimes when we do altar calls, we like to have music, right? Because we don't like quiet, and we think it sets the tone. And it does. Don't get me wrong, it does. But God can move whether we have the right music on or not. All right. One more area I want to talk about this morning. And I want to mention each of the gifts and the categories of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When I say categories, it's just to help us to understand how they're used, okay? The first category are what we're going to say are spiritual gifts, right? The word that are used for these gifts is charismata, okay? It is a Greek word, and it means literally graces. These are the graces associated with doing some important supernatural things, okay? Word of wisdom. This is not book learning. It's not, hey, you know what? I read this in a really good book, and God, you know. Wisdom is to know what to do supernaturally in a situation. Knowledge is that same idea, to know something that you shouldn't be able to know. You know when I see a lot of times the word of knowledge working is when people are praying for somebody and they pray for something and the other person's like, how did you know to pray for that? Or sometimes it's said this way, the preacher was reading my mail. He got up to speak, and the words that he spoke were exactly your life. Then you have the gift of faith. Now, this is separate than the faith that we need to believe that Jesus is Lord. This is a miraculous faith that goes above and beyond. Like, you know God has called you to do something. You know that God has called church to do something. And you have enough faith for everybody that it is going to happen and we're just going to move forward. And you're like, come on, let's do it. I know God is going to do this thing. You have the gift of healing. It's pretty straightforward. Either you pray for people and they're healed, you lay hands on people and they're healed. Discerning of spirits. Is this thing coming before me of God? Is it not of God? Is this thing coming before me what God desires? Or is this something that the enemy wants to desire? It's being able to tell beyond just what's good and evil, but it goes to like knowing what's good and evil about what spiritually is going on here. Okay? The gift of tongues. Different than baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is your personal prayer language between you and God. The gift of tongues is to be used in the body, where during a service you speak out in tongues, and it goes hand in hand with number 7, which is interpretation of tongues. A message in tongues is given, Somebody interprets it so that we understand what God wants to say to us. Okay? It's important because if you have the gift of tongues and you speak in tongues and nobody interprets, we have no idea what just took place. And so those things go hand in hand, okay? And sometimes it means that God wants to use you to interpret it if there's nobody else to interpret, okay? Our second category is called the motivational gifts. Romans 12, 5 through 8 talks about these. The gift of prophecy. These are the gifts that when you have this gift and you're using this gift, it motivates you to minister to people. So when you have the gift of prophecy, it's pushing you to share God's message with people. The gift of service, to serve others. Teaching. Okay, teaching is not a miraculous thing, but it is like moving you to minister to people to help them grow. You have encouragement. You know in the Bible who had the gift of encouragement? Barnabas. If it wasn't for him, Paul never would have gone out and made a difference in the churches, because it says people hated him. They were afraid of Saul Paul, because of the fact that he had killed Christians. And Barnabas is the one that said, I've got them. Let's do it. He has changed. He has God's message. Let's do this. So, encouragement. The gift of giving. Some people, hey, listen, we're all told that we should give with a joyful heart. Some people are gifted at giving. Man, they have such a generous heart that God has given them. And they'll give you, they're like, here, you need this? All right, here, take my suspenders. You know, all right. But they don't care about having. They care about giving to meet needs. They're generous people. And they know how to wear their clothes. Then you have the gift of leadership. When you have someone who's a great leader, people want to follow. They just, you know, they say, come on, let's go do this. And God has gifted them in leadership, and they know what to do. And they know how they're going to get it done. And they're good at bringing people along with them to do it. The gift of mercy. Man, sometimes in church, we need the gift of mercy. People who are really, really good at just showing you God's mercy, demonstrating what that looks like. In the midst of a hard time, even in the midst of sin, this isn't the same as like being wishy-washy. But it means coming alongside people and demonstrating God's mercy to them. And certain people are really good at that. And then you have the ministry gifts. These are the gifts that typically are being used in the church and the leadership organization of a church, if you understand what I mean, the office in the church. You have the apostle. Typically, when we talk about the apostle and when we read scripture, the apostles were those people who firsthand had information about Jesus. The 12 would have been considered apostles. You have the gift of helps. Those who are uniquely gifted to be in the background but help you to get stuff done. Not everybody was created and gifted to be in the spotlight. Certain people hate being in the spotlight, but nothing would get done without them, because they have been gifted supernaturally with helps, and whatever you need, man, they're there. They can read it before you know it. I had somebody in children's church who was really, really good at that. And when I was teaching, they would know, oh, he's going to need this next, and have it ready. He's going to need this next. That's a gifting that God gives. It can be in teaching. It can be in helping people. You know, you have something go wrong at your house, and you don't know how to fix it. Certain people are gifted to come over and help you and get that done. That goes beyond natural ability. I mean, they live on that because God has gifted them in that way. You have the gift of administration. Some people are super duper organized and can lead and can help the church grow because they just know how to make the bones, you know, the structure. You have people who are gifted to be evangelists. People who are just great, they'll get up, they'll speak, their words will move people's hearts in a way that is just supernatural. And then you have the pastor who's gifted to lead a church and to share God's word week in and week out. These are some of the gifts that God gives. I want to mention four others that are kind of not in any category. Antoinette, can you bring back up that last slide for me? Four more gifts that Scripture talks about that don't kind of fit into those categories, but they're still mentioned in Scripture. Don't worry about it, Antoinette. Oh, Sam. The first one is the gift of celibacy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. We're going to get there. Paul talks about those with the gift of celibacy have more time and are able to focus on ministry. Their attention isn't split between ministry and family. You have the gift of voluntary poverty. You know, the best way I can describe this one is think for a second of Mother Teresa, right? Here is a woman who lived in poverty because anything she had, she gave to the poor. And it didn't bother her. It didn't bother her that she didn't have a big house. Didn't bother her that she didn't have expensive clothes, the newest gadget. She just loved to serve and was able to do it, and just, she didn't care about worldly things, materials. You have the gift of martyrdom. 1 Corinthians 13:3. I think Wednesday I mentioned Polycarp, who was one of the disciples, John's disciple, and how he was a disciple that in the early church gave his life, was burned at the stake because he wasn't willing to compromise his faith and renounce God. Martyrdom is the ability to stand for your faith and not back down even in the face of death. Do you know that all but one disciple died for their faith? They were either crucified, beheaded. Peter didn't even want to be crucified right side up. The only disciple who did not die for his faith was John, the one we call the beloved. And he was the only disciple that got to die of old age. Not because he turned his back on the faith, but that's just what God's plan was for him. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that I would happily look towards death. I know that, hey, the moment death comes, I get to be with Jesus. But the process of dying is not something I'm like, ooh, good. I get to be tortured to death for Jesus. And yet, some of the disciples were really like that. I count it an honor that I was arrested and tortured for Jesus. They're gifted in that way. And the last one is hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 talks about being hospitable. Being welcoming, sharing of your resources, inviting people into your life and home. And this goes beyond just being a dinner guest, okay? Hey, we can all be hospitable and invite people to our house for dinner and all this. This goes like welcoming people to come live in your home because they're in need. This is like, as soon as you hear somebody sick, the first thing you do is you make a meal and you get it over them, and you do that consistently. You make people feel welcomed as they come into this church, like they belong, like we've been waiting for them. That's the gift of hospitality. God has gifted each of us. He has a gifting for each of us, sometimes multiple giftings. Sometimes he'll use you in a moment for a gift. It's not something he's given to you to function in on a regular basis, but he wants to use you right here and right now in one of these gifts. And then sometimes some of you are gifted to do these things. Brother Ken Shofflett, gifted in teaching. Gus, gifted in that help and service. Certain people are just gifted, and God wants to use your gifts and your abilities to make a difference in this world and to make a difference in this church. If you're able to, can you stand with me? Jesus. I want to just offer an opportunity that somebody would like to come to the altar this morning and pray. I can come around and pray with you, but if you want to pray and say, God, I want to be used in my gifts. God, I'm not even sure what my gifts are. I invite you to come to the altar. Nothing big, nothing dramatic, but just an opportunity for you to come before God and seek and say, God, use me. Stir up the gifts within me so that I can serve and be a part of this body and contribute. I invite you that if you want to, you can come forward and we'll pray with you. Irene, do you mind playing something?